This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We left off yesterday in the names of the Bible with Hadadezer, and we're going to study another one today, and that's Hagar. Hagar in the Hebrew is actually immigration, flight, or wandering is what Hagar actually means in the Hebrew. Since Sarah had failed to bear a child to Abraham, she gave her husband the Egyptian slave Hagar to conceive an heir in her place. Hagar was possibly one of the maidservants Pharaoh had given Abraham at the time he took Sarah into his house, having been told she was the patriarch's sister, not his wife. But when Hagar became pregnant, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Genesis 16 and verse 4. Abraham refused to intervene in the conflict, and Sarah began to treat Hagar so harshly that she finally fled into the wilderness. There, by a spring, an angel appeared and urged her to return to her mistress, telling her that the child she was to bear would be named Ishmael. God has heard is actually what that means, Ishmael. And that he would be a wild ass of a man, Genesis 16 and 12, and produce a multitude of descendants. Hagar returned, and 14 years after Ishmael's birth, Sarah at last bore a son, Isaac. At a feast given to celebrate Isaac's weaning, Sarah saw Ishmael playing with Isaac in Genesis 21, verse 9, perhaps mocking or laughing at the child. She grew concerned that Hagar's son would share Isaac's inheritance, and he appealed to Abraham to expel the servant woman and her child. Abraham overcame his reluctance to do so only after God assured him that such an expulsion would serve the divine purpose, because Abraham's main line of descent was to be through Isaac. Sent into the wilderness with only a small amount of bread and water to sustain her and her son, Hagar soon realized that they would die of thirst and placed the boy under a bush to avoid seeing his death. But as her child wept, an angel called to Hagar, saying that Ishmael would survive to produce a great nation. Opening her eyes, she saw a well from which she drew water for her son. When Ishmael grew up, Hagar found an Egyptian wife for him. The story of Hagar was used as an allegory by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He pictured the slave Hagar and her son, born according to the flesh, as representing the restrictions of the Old Covenant, whereas Christians like Isaac are children of promise, children of the free woman, Galatians 4, verse 23, 28, and 31. Providing her husband with an heir was considered a woman's duty in the ancient Near East. Thus, when Sarah remained barren until she had apparently passed her childbearing years, she offered her maidservant Hagar to Abraham as a surrogate, or substitute for herself. The child born of such a liaison was legally hers. The tradition of providing surrogate mothers continued with Jacob's two wives, Leah and Rachel, each of whom offered a maid to bear children during a period of infertility. By each servant, Zilpah and Bilhah, Jacob had two additional sons. Quite interesting. Now we're going to get into the next name, which is Haggai. Haggai means festal, festal in the Hebrew. One of the 12 minor prophets, whose short books bring the Old Testament to a close, Haggai, along with his contemporary Zechariah, was instrumental in getting Jerusalem's Jews to rebuild the temple following their return from exile in Babylon. Haggai began his prophecies in August of 520 BC, the second year in the reign of Persia's king Darius I. On that day, the first day of the Hebrew month of Elul, Haggai told Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the high priest Joshua the reason for the people's inadequate harvest, their hunger, thirst, and cold. God was dissatisfied with them for neglecting to restore his house of worship. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, the temple, lies in ruins? Haggai 1 verse 4. Haggai asked this question. Continuing to speak in the name of the Lord, Haggai commanded them to go into the hills surrounding Jerusalem, hills now almost barren but then well wooded, and cut down enough lumber to rebuild the temple. Among his listeners, there may have been some who, apparently like the prophet himself, were old enough to remember how beautiful the original temple had been before it was plundered and burned by the Neo-Babylonians 67 years earlier. The rebuilt temple, Haggai promised in a subsequent prophecy, would be filled with silver and gold, as had been the old in splendor. It would surpass Solomon's magnificent edifice. Although little is known about the so-called Second Temple, which was built following Haggai's exhortation, it was to survive nearly 600 years. 2 centuries longer than had the first temple. Take courage, all you people of the land. Work, for I am with you. Haggai 2, verse 4. Haggai exhorted in the name of the Lord, and they did work, beginning their labors about 3 weeks after Haggai's first prophecy. On December 18th, the 24th day of the ninth month, the Hebrew month of Chislev, the stone foundation for the new building was laid. Soon thereafter, the prophet asserted, the faithful would see the results, barns filled with grain and ample yields from the vines and from the fig, pomegranate, and olive trees. Quite an interesting prophet, minor prophet Haggai. Ham, H-A-M, in the Hebrew means warm or hot. Ham. Although he is always listed between his two brothers, Shem and Japheth, Ham was apparently the youngest son of Noah. All three brothers and their wives accompanied their father on the ark. After the floodwaters receded, Noah planted a vineyard, and one day Ham came upon his father naked and intoxicated in his tent. He told his brothers of Noah's condition, and they carefully covered their father, walking backward so as not to see his body, since Israelite tradition prohibited viewing the nakedness of a parent. When Noah recovered from his drunkenness and realized what had happened, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A slave of slaves shall he be to his brothers." Genesis 9:25. Interpreters differ as to the reason why Noah cursed Canaan. who was one of Ham's sons rather than Ham himself. However, in the Bible, it is not uncommon for children to be punished for their sins and for the sins of their parents. Some of Canaan's descendants, the Gibeonites, in line apparently with Noah's prophecy, were told by Joshua, "You shall always be slaves, hewers of wood, and drawers of water." Joshua 9 and verse 23. Ham's sons were Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan, the descendants of three. The Cushites, the Egyptians, and the Canaanites figure prominently in the Bible. Put apparently engendered the people of either Libya or the Horn of Africa, areas that are mentioned less often in scriptures. Quite an interesting curse that Noah had put on his own son. He had his reasons. Evidently, he knew something that maybe we do not know, but this curse was passed down through generations of Ham. Now we're going to one more name here before we stop, and I think it we'll go ahead with this one. It's Haman, or well disposed, actually, in the Hebrew, well disposed. After he named Haman, the Agagite, grand vizier, the Persian king Ahasuerus ordered the entire court to bow down to him. But Mordecai, a Jew who was one of the king's gatekeepers, refused to prostrate himself. As a Benjamite, he could not so honor the descendant of King Saul's enemy, Agag. Enraged at the flouting of the king's order, Haman vowed his revenge not only on Mordecai, but upon all his people as well, and persuaded the king to decree that on a given day Jews throughout the kingdom should be killed. He then built a gallows especially for Mordecai. But before Haman's orders could be carried out, Ahasuerus learned that Mordecai had never been rewarded for thwarting an assassination plot against him. Summoning Haman, the king asked his minister to suggest what could be done for the man whom the king delights to honor, Esther 6:6. Haman proposed a gift of fine clothes and a horse from the royal stable, assuming that the man to be honored was himself. Thus clothed and mounted, he suggested the honoree should be led through the city in triumph. To his dismay, Haman was told that Mordecai was the man chosen for the honor, and had to endure the humiliation of giving his enemy the reward he had proposed for himself. During the course of a subsequent banquet to which Haman had been invited, Mordecai's cousin Esther, who was the wife of Ahasuerus, revealed to the king that the vizier's plot was against her own people and pronounced Haman her enemy. As he begged for mercy, Haman fell upon Esther's couch, leading Ahasuerus to believe that he was trying to assault the queen. Furious, the king ordered Haman hanged on the same gallows that he had built for Mordecai, and decreed that on that day, originally set for their destruction, the Jews would be allowed to take revenge on their enemies. Haman's 10 sons were among those killed in the ensuing bloody retaliation, and Mordecai was awarded Haman's estate and position. To this day, Jews commemorate this deliverance as the holiday of Purim. Quite an interesting story, don't you think? We're going to stop right there, and we're going to take this up tomorrow with Hammurabi. There we go. Some of these names, you'll have to just bear with me. Hammurabi. And this is another name we'll deal with tomorrow's lessons, and we'll take up several. If you'd like this study, you can ask for offer number 61621, 61621. You can call us here at the station, 928-368-6766, or you can go to our website, krciradio.com, and you can download many of these. I just put up the first group of these names just last night. So you can now download a week's worth, or actually, yes, a week's worth or 2 weeks' worth of the names. You can download them at our website, krciradio.com, and let us know what you think of them. Give us a shoot us a comment. These are very informative. Along with the names comes a wealth of information. Each and every name that we are covering, along with it, it's like a net that just brings so much information and knowledge of the Bible with that name. Because, face it, with each name comes the information and history of that particular person, and along with it is so much knowledge. It's just amazing. So with these with this study of these particular names of the Bible, we are gathering so much information concerning them and a wealth of knowledge that you would never get this anyplace else. The information that is involved in these names is just unbelievable. So I hope you're enjoying it, and just let us know what you think and give us your comments at the website, krciradio.com, or you can even write to us at KRCI Radio at Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.